Good to be here this morning, and we're continuing on in our series of lessons on spiritual discipline or spiritual boot camp. So let's get out our exercise mats and let's all get exercising. We're at boot camp, but this is a spiritual boot camp, so it's a little different. The last time that we talked, last time that we spoke, we were talking about one of the disciplines. The first one was discipline of purpose. I mean, you're not going to have much discipline in your life if you don't have purpose, right? If you're just like, why are you getting up in the morning, you know? As Christians, we don't have that issue, although sometimes we don't really feel like getting up in the morning. We don't have an issue. We don't have a problem with having a sense of purpose or midlife crisis or anything like that, because we know as Christians, our sense of purpose and our job here, if you will, is to glorify God. And so anyway, we talk about discipline of purpose. We're talking about discipline of mind. The real battle's in the mind. I know we talked about the Christian mind. and often the Bible tells us to choose between two options, whether Joshua says to the people, choose this day whom you'll serve, or whether in Deuteronomy, I think that was Moses that said, no, that was God that said, I set before you death and life, blessing and curse, choose life, right? Our choice as Christians are either to be conformed to this world or to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's what Romans chapter 12 says. That's our two choices. We can be conformed to this world and transform our minds. I'm just of the opinion that it's hard for me to believe. I know you've heard this a million times. It's hard to believe that we just sit still and we just stand firm where we're at. I think we're either advancing or we're retreating, right? We're going forward or we're going backwards spiritually. And I'll admit that myself, I sometimes make poor choices. We choose to watch the things the world watches, talk the way the world talks, do the things the world does. But we're called to something more or something better. We're called to godliness and to renounce anything. So we're called to renew our minds. So spiritual discipline begins in the mind. And as Christians, as it says here, we're to put on some things and we're to put off some things, right? Like they used to say, remember when that newfangled invention came along? Do y'all remember that back in the 80s? What was it called? Computers, y'all remember that when those things came along? You don't remember. You aren't born yet. But anyway, so I remember that. They used to have a saying, garbage in, garbage out. What you put in is what's going to come out. And so I started going to college like I was going to be into this newfangled computer stuff till I figured out I just hated it. So I changed my mind. But anyway, we must create a Christian mind. There are some things, as it says, we're to put on some things, we're to put off some things. Let's go to, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll start there. And continue on the Christian mind, Ephesians chapter 4. We have to guard our minds and what we put into our minds and what we put into our hearts. Ephesians chapter 4. And if you'll look at verse number, let me get there first. How about starting in verse, 17? Let's start in Ephesians 4, verse 17. Are you there? Ephesians 4, 17, okay. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, why are they ignorant about the things of God? Because they're blind. Their heart is blind. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness, with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, right? So when we're unsaved, we were spiritually blind. Our mind cannot understand the truth of the gospel. That's why it takes two things. Number one, it takes God's word, but without a supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit, God's word will help you absolutely zero. If the Holy Spirit's not there, there is no salvation, right? It takes a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit illuminating through the Bible for our minds to be illuminated to the truth. And by the way, if you got your songbooks, grab a songbook in front of you. this songbook, the soul-stirring songs. Let's go to hymn number 24, if you would. We're not going to sing because I can't really lead singing or whatever. But the idea is that we were spiritually blind is what the Bible says here. We were spiritually blind. We were unsaved. We did not understand the truth of the gospel, right? Look at Charles Wesley, of course, one of the most famous hymn writers in all of Christianity. Song number 24. Y'all know this song. Let's just read the third verse. Are you ready? Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke. The dungeon flamed with light. It's like he says in verse 3, his spirit was imprisoned. And imprisoned by what? Sin and nature's light. All he could see is the natural things. You could not see or understand any supernatural thing. But what happened to him? Look at the next part. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. That's the Lord right there. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. Now, he's not talking about being an actual dungeon. What's he talking about? He's talking about spiritually. Spiritually, we were dead. Spiritually, we were in darkness. We had no idea what to do. We had, we didn't know how to find God. No, it's worse than that. The Bible says we didn't even want to find God. We didn't have any reason for God. We make ourselves gods. But anyway, look what it says. The dungeon flame. He's talking about the dungeon of your soul, flamed with light. What's that light? The light of the gospel. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Right? I like what Charles Wesley, because that's why I like the old hymns, because they're extremely biblical. I don't know how much the praise choruses are biblical, but even if some of those praise choruses are biblical and some of them are biblical, I just think you learn more with the old hymns. I think they're more biblical and more spiritual than the praise choruses, because the idea of a praise chorus is the same as the idea of, let's say, people down, tribes down in South America beating the drums and saying the same things over and over, or the people in the heart of Africa beating their drums and saying and chanting the same things over and over. Or, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, a Roman Catholic saying things over and over with a rosary or whatever. Those kind of things can lead you into some kind of spiritual state, but it ain't godly spiritual. They'll lead you to a different state, but it's not what you think, right? Anyway, let's go to Romans chapter 12. I didn't mean to get off onto that subject, but anyway, Romans chapter 12. That's why I'm not into the praise choruses, okay? That's one of the reasons. Not that it's important, not that you needed to know that, not that you need to believe like I believe on that. I don't believe that you need to believe like I believe on that, or you're lost and or you're backslidden or whatever. But when I hear someone saying the same words over and over 7, 8, 9, 10 times, I'm like, well, that's what the heathens do in the jungles of Africa, in the jungles of South America. That's what the Roman Catholic Church does. I mean, there's enough proof that that's probably not the way to God. It's probably not going to heighten your spirituality or increase your spirituality by saying the same things over and over. Because that's how you know those people that do the om. Y'all know that om. I asked Brother Greg the other day. He said he does that daily. And so he practices. He gets in the lotus position. And I can't get in the lotus position because if I actually was able to get there, I wouldn't be able to untangle myself and get out of that. But anyway, there's a reason why they do that. Ohm's Law, I like that. That's good. There's a reason why they do that, yes. But the shock you're going to get from this ohm is not going to be a shock that you... But anyway, there's a reason why they do that. By saying something over and over and over, you kind of lose... your mind kind of detaches. You know, that's the whole idea, is mindlessness, right? Behind all that. What's that? A trance-like state, right? So that if you think you're going to be... I'm sorry, I'm going off onto this. I don't mean to. But if you think you're going to actually clear your mind, you're wrong. Something's going to inhabit your mind. It's going to either be the spirit of God or it'll be the spirit of Satan, right? And so I don't cotton, as the old folks used to say, I don't cotton to those praise choruses, because I know that that's the way everyone else in the world tries to drum up spirituality, or they try to om, because you're supposed to say the om for hours and hours, om, om, and I tried that one. No, I didn't try it. Anyway, I told you when I was on the University of Texas campus, I used to work at the University of Texas. That was the closest I ever came to Hades, I guess. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, and sometimes just for fun, I would go to the quad right next to where the main library was. They got like 9 or 10 libraries on the campus. But sometimes I'd sit out there and just watch the weirdos because it's Austin. It's Austin. And I think I told you this before, I saw the Hare Krishnas. They actually had a band set up. They had instruments and set up, and they were singing, and they would sing some slow songs and some fast songs, some medium tempo songs, but they would all have the same words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And then the slow songs, they would be Hare Krishna, and then the fast songs, Hare Krishna. Yeah, it would just be the same words over and over and over again with a different tempo. After a while, it started to get a little boring to me. But anyway, that's the idea behind that. I like the old hymns. Can I just finish it by saying that? Are you at Romans 12? Look at verse number 1. We just quoted it, but let's read it again. I beseech you, therefore, because here's the choice. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what we're to put on in verse number 2. And be not, this is what we're to put off, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's what we're talking about, the mind. We need to be transformed. How? By renewing our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The choice is set before us each day. Will you allow the world to conform your mind, or will you invite God to control your mind? That's our choice. I dare say we make that, when I say we, by the way, y'all understand I'm including me in every single thing I ever say at Sunday school ever, right? I mean, it's just like, it's not like I'm talking to you. You guys need to do this and whatever. I'm talking to myself, right? Just because I say we or you need to or whatever. But will we allow the world to conform our minds, or will we invite God to control our minds? If we don't even choose, then we've already made a choice, have we not? So we have to actively make that choice. The world, the flesh, and the devil never take a day off. They don't go away. So we have to actually every day make that choice to invite God to control our minds, to allow the things of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit to control our minds, which controls our thoughts and our behaviors and our desires. If we don't, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to, right? They are so powerful that if we don't actively resist, we will be conformed and consumed by it. So to do nothing about it is to invite the world, the flesh, and the devil in, right? Just to coast along and say, well, I don't need to fight the good fight. I don't know about you guys. I'm going to get personal here. Some days I'm tired of fighting the fight. Aren't y'all tired sometimes? I mean, maybe you're more spiritual than I am or whatever. Sometimes I just get weary of fighting the good fight of faith. I just get weary of it. Maybe it's for selfish reasons I get weary of it. Maybe it's for good reason, because we all get weary and we're still in this robe of flesh, and I don't know, but we have to every day make up our minds that we're going to be conformed. We're going to be conformed to the Word of God, not be consumed by this world. And so that brings us to the world and the mind. The Word and the mind a little bit. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, because how can we put on a new mind? How can we be transformed by the renewing? How can our mind be renewed and transformed, right? I thought that I would call up my friend. I texted him, and he never texted me back. But I was going to see what my brother Joel had to say about it, but he never texted me back. My brother Joel's a little bit busy on Sunday mornings. He's got thousands of people to go and preach to down there in Houston. So anyway, he never texted me back, but if there's anybody that knew about this, I'd figure it'd be Joel. So anyway, 1 John 2, are you there? We all know these verses. And throughout this series, I'm going to say it a million times. We all know these verses. We've heard these a million times. We all know this advice. We've heard it a million times, because it's true, right? 1 John 2:15. Are you ready? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. A Christian is not to be conformed, like it said in Romans, or to love, as it says here in 1 John, the world. And this often plays out, in this love, this struggle often plays out in our minds. Even for a Christian, it's easy for us to be conformed to the world. That's why we're never surprised when unbelievers act the way they act, do the way they do, and say the things they say, because they're just acting naturally, right? It's even hard for a Christian, for us not to be, let me say it in a more positive way. It's easy for us to be conformed to this world. It's so easy. All we have to do is go along and get along. As a matter of fact, it's the path of least resistance, right? Sometimes I'd like to take that path of least resistance, but I know where that path leads, and we all know that. It's easy for us to be conformed to this world, even as Christians. It's easy for us to start to desire the things the world desires, to think the way the world thinks, and to behave the way the world behaves. That's easy. That's easy for us to do. We must guard our minds against the encroachments and the temptations of the world. There are many different ways the world is allowed to get into our thinking. There are many different avenues, or I've got it right here. There are many different avenues or gateways into the mind, right? Where the world gets around. Now, we think of gateways, you're thinking of the eyes and the ears and all that sort of thing. But I like to do that a little bit differently and take some things that I wrote down that I think are things that that get the world into our thinking or into our minds. One would be entertainment. One would be entertainment. When we're not careful about what we watch, careful about what we hear, careful about what we read, when we spend an inordinate amount of time on entertainment, we have to be careful, because that's one of the ways the world can get into our thinking. You say, well, Brother Chris, there's Christian entertainment. I know there is, and that's much to be preferred. But let's just take it, let's just take entertainment, period. Is my job in this world to be entertained? But I want to be entertained. There's some days I come home after school and I don't feel like seeing anybody or talking to anybody. I just feel like laying on that couch and taking a little nap, or maybe just disappearing, whatever. Sometimes I just don't want to engage, right? But sometimes to disengage, let's say, or sometimes people have different words. Entertainment helps provide us a period where we can just shut off the cares and the worries of this world. And I'm not saying entertainment is bad. My entertainment the last 3 or 4 years has been English Premier League football. Do you all know what that is? I've told you before. English Premier League football is what we would call soccer over here, except in England they actually play it for real, as opposed to here in the United States. I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, so I like watching the English Premier League teams. I like hearing about England and the English towns and Liverpool and Birmingham and all those places. You know, that's England's our mother country, so I enjoy hearing about England. So sometimes I'll put that on, but I don't just sit there and watch it because I don't have time. But I'll put it on the background. Audrey will do her stuff and I'll do my stuff, and whether I'm doing bills or whatever. But I have to be careful, because sometimes I'll sit down in my chair in front of that television. Sometimes I'll be tempted to sit there and watch like a whole half of a Premier League match. And I'm like, I don't need to be doing this. I mean, I dare say that as Christians, our problem isn't that we don't get enough entertainment. I think our problem is the opposite. Am I right? I mean, sometimes I have to watch myself. I'm like, I find myself just sitting there watching the match, and I'm like, well, I didn't really put this on to sit here and watch. I could watch 1,000 matches, but you know, that's not my goal. That's not in life. That's not how I want to spend my time. So we got to be careful, not just what form of entertainment, but that we don't spend too much time on entertainment, right? I've got another one I listed down, friendships. What can be wrong with entertainment? Well, not necessarily anything can be wrong with entertainment. What can be wrong with friendships? Well, not necessarily anything can be wrong with friendships, but still, as Christians, we have to be careful. When our closest friendships or relationships are with unbelievers, we have to rethink that model. We have to rethink that strategy, right? So we have to be careful that friendships, because friends have an inordinate, sometimes, they have an inordinate effect on everything that we see or do, or our likes or dislikes or passions or whatever. Friends can have a big influence on that. And if they're not Christian friends, what kind of an influence are they going to be, right? I've got another one I wrote down, your job or your career. Is there anything wrong with your job or you're having a job or career? Of course there's nothing wrong with that. But we as Christians have to be careful, because your job and where you work and the people you work around, those things can get into your mind and make you more worldly or think more worldly. When your job or your career dominates your time, or it dominates your thoughts to the extent that time with God is pushed out, then you have a problem. And I'll say in my life, this has been a problem in recent years, because a lot of times I'll bring my job home with me, and by that I mean I'll worry about it. I'll have to do this or that. Just yesterday, I got a text from somebody at the college that I teach for that, hey, you didn't turn in your X, Y, or Z. And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't turn in my X, Y, and Z, by the way. And then I have to turn in my wife's because she works for the college, but she didn't know how to do any of that, so I do all hers. Then our HVAC teacher at school, I do all his. So I forgot to turn in sets of stuff for three people. So, but sometimes our job, our career can dominate our time, dominate our thoughts to the extent that, God is pushed out. The idea is this: what gets you up in the morning? What gets you up in the morning? You say, well, Brother Chris, the alarm. I know. That's not what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. What motivates you to go about your day? Because sometimes I'll get up and I won't feel the motivation, right? But what motivates you most mornings to get up, right? Is it your job, or is it your career, or is it that you're a Christian and you want to glorify God? You get another, God's given you another day on this earth, another gift to see if you can go out and spend one day to glorify Him without sin. And that's the goal in mind when you wake up, right? But so your job and your career, what gets you up in the morning? If it's your job or your career, then you've got your priorities misplaced, right? And sometimes I'll be thinking about my job, or thinking about something that happened, or thinking about a conflict with this person or that person, because anywhere you work, there are going to be conflicts. And I'll be thinking about that stuff when I really, I'd rather be, or should rather be, reading my Bible, or, you know, doing something along those lines. I got another one here, neglect. Now, I said entertainment can get into our way of thinking. Too much entertainment and the wrong kind. Friendships, the wrong kind of friends, or the wrong friends can get into our thinking, or can influence our thinking. Your job or your career. Also, my next job, I can't wait for my next career. I don't know when it's going to start, but it starts with an R and then it ends in a T. You know what it's called? Retirement. It's called, well, rest would be a good one. But it's called retirement. I can't wait for that career. Because from everything I've been told, you're just as busy then as you are now with a job. But I'd still rather give it a shot just to see. Because, but the only thing that keeps me from doing it is, there's many things. Anyway, but I've got the last one. The last one I thought of is neglect. And I know this isn't like the other ones. When we allow ourselves to slowly get cold or to think more worldly over time, we allow the natural worldliness in our hearts to gain influence over our minds. That is neglect. In other words, like I said before, if we don't put on our armor every day, we're going to have issues. And if we don't renew our minds every day, then the devil's going to get in, the world's going to, the flesh is going to, we can't just neglect or put it in neutral. There's no coasting in neutral if you're a Christian. There's nothing more some days I'd like to do than just to coast in neutral. But it's not what we're called to do. As a matter of fact, it's what we're to fight against. We're to fight against inertia. And I know sometimes that battle takes place when you're sitting in your lazy boy and you don't want to get up. But I'm not talking about that inertia. I'm talking about spiritual inertia, right? We allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to gain influence over our minds simply through neglect, simply through not saying that we need to renew our minds every day. Worldliness is constantly pressuring our minds. We must resist it because our spiritual life and our spiritual health depend on it. Now, we can do it, but we can't do it on our own. But guess what? If you're a Christian this morning, you have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit through the Word is what saved you, and the Holy Spirit through the Word will renew your minds. But it has to be both of those things. You already have the Holy Spirit living inside you. You need the Word in combination with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to, in Romans 12, where we just were, it says we're to be transformed by the renewing. Renewing our mind, as I said, is a lifelong and it's a daily task. Our mind should undergo a steady change as we're saturated by God's Word. So everyone is changing today. You say, Brother Chris, how are you changing? Well, one obvious way is I'm getting older. I know none of y'all are experiencing that, but I'm getting older, right? And I was told I'd get wiser. I don't know if that's worked out so well. I don't know. Or as you get older, or you get further along in the Christian life, you get more mature and more holy. I'm waiting. So far, I'm trying, and I'm hoping to get there someday. I'm working towards it. But anyway, we should see a slow but steady change in our thinking, in our desires, as we saturate our minds through God's Word, right? If there's not a steady change in your life, slowly saturated through God's Word, then, as the Bible says, you need to check out your salvation. Or maybe you just need to put on your spiritual armor and you need to be more disciplined about what goes into your mind. Turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, I know this is stuff that you've heard a million times before. I understand that. I'm not totally ignorant of that fact. But you know what? I'll just use myself. I need to be reminded of this stuff constantly. I need to be reminded to put on and to what to put on and what to put off, because you have to have both. Are you at 2 Corinthians? Are you at chapter 3? Are you at verse 18? But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, we know the Spirit of the Lord has to be there, or there'll be no changes in our lives. The idea is that this is he's talking to Christians. This should be characteristic of a Christian, that we're changed into the image of the Lord. It's not going to happen overnight. And sometimes when we look at that image in the mirror, it doesn't look much like the Lord. So sometimes we maybe take a step backwards, but the idea is we're constantly slowly being changed, as it says here, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is changing us to be more like Jesus. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to change you through saturating yourself in God's Word and putting off the world, the flesh, and the devil, and renewing your mind every day? That's what we're called to do. So if I haven't said it already, I'll say it one more time, enough times. You need two things. What do I need? What do I need, Brother Chris? Just tell me what I need, right? Okay, well, that's fine. You know, I'm an American. I like pragmatism just as much as the next person. You need two things, right? To renew your mind and cleanse your mind from the spirit of worldliness. One thing you have already in you. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you. Sometimes we get so anti-Pentecostal, we ignore the Holy Spirit, as if the Holy Spirit wasn't as much of the second part of the Trinity as God the Father and God the Son were. Well, God the Father and God the Son, they're awesome. They're totally awesome. And God the Holy Spirit, well, you know, you don't want to go too far with that, because then you'll be running down the aisle and foaming at the mouth and stuff like that. No, just because some people abuse the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we don't worship the Holy Spirit the same way as we worship the first two persons of the Trinity. So there's no ignoring that. But the good news is you need two things. Number one, you already have it, the Holy Spirit living inside you. Number two, you already have it, but do you use it? That's the Word of God. Those are the two things that we need to renew and cleanse our mind from the encroaches of worldliness. The Spirit of God working through the Word of God. I'll say that again. That's how you got saved. The Spirit of God working through the Word of God. If the Spirit wasn't there, you're not saved. If the Word wasn't there, you're not saved. And the same thing is true for Christians. The Spirit of God that we have living inside of us, operating through His Word, that's how we'll be more holy. That's how we'll put on the mind of God, and that's how we'll renew our minds. There's no shortcuts. There's no easy solutions. Isn't that what everybody wants today? Shortcuts and easy solutions to anything and everything? Show me the easiest way to do it. I don't even have to do my own work now. I have AI that does my work for me at school. Seriously, AI. Y'all use AI for anything around here? I mean, AI could have done Brother Chad's surgery. Probably did. Who knows? I don't know. The doctor just, they put him under. The doctor's like, okay, AI, I want you to do this, this, and this, and, you know, get to work. And AI does it, right? I don't know how I got into AI. But anyway, there's no shortcuts. There's no AI. There's no easy solutions. There's no different paths. You know, we all have different paths that we go to climb the mountain. And once we climb the mountain, I guess there's some kind of Buddha dude living up there, which always made me kind of confused. How do those Buddha dudes live on top of a cold mountain with no food or nothing up there? Like, don't they like get hungry or starve or whatever up on the top of that little cliff that they're sitting on? I never kind of understood that. I mean, they have to walk around like anybody else does. Like, they just sit there waiting for people to climb the cliff every day. It's like, well, no one climbed today. I don't have any wisdom to give out. So where do they sleep? You know, it always confused me about the, you climb the mountains and there's the Buddha sitting there home. And he's like, well, what can I help you with, my son? And I want to know the secret of life. And well, the secret of life is Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's is the secret of life. Buc-ee's will give you health and happiness. And all you got to do is stop into Buc-ee's and it'll take care of everything. But anyway, that's the only, there's no shortcuts, easy solutions. There's only one way your mind can be renewed, through the Holy Spirit that you already have, through an operation through the Word of God, that you are not going to, the Holy Spirit doesn't just throw up Scripture. I mean, the Holy Spirit does that, but you have to have the Scripture in you first. How do you get the Scripture in you? You only get it in you by reading and studying, right? We'll get to that in a little bit. Let me give you a quote by Tim Chalet, that French dude. I don't know a whole lot of things, good things that come out of France. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to anybody. I know, Skip, you lived in France for a little while. No offense. Anyway, can I read this quote? Christian man, you must renew your mind. Christian woman, you must renew your mind. Which direction is your mind changing? Toward conformity to the world or transformation into God's image? Where do you find yourself more often, sitting on the couch watching TV or bowing on your knees in prayer over the Word? Over a lifetime of commitment to God's Word, you gain new wisdom to replace old foolishness. You gain godly desires to replace satanic longings. The sins that once fueled your imagination and motivated your actions begin to lose their power and are displaced by virtues that motivate good to others and bring glory to God. Such transformed lives begin with transformed minds, for your body always obeys your brain. Isn't that something? That's why I wanted to put the mind up near high. It's what I have at number two or something like that. I got number two because I think it's one of the most important things. I'll read that sentence again. I like that. Transformed lives begin with transformed minds, for your body always obeys your brain. Isn't that crazy, right? I've got some practical advice. Are you ready? And then we'll move on. One thing we need to do is eliminate temptations when we're talking about things entering into our minds. What causes your mind to think about wrong things? Well, don't think on those. don't look on those things, or don't, you know, think about those things. Whether it's what you look at on eBay or Facebook or Marketplace or whatever, whether it's what you listen to, whether it's places that you go, the people that you spend time with or whatever, we've got to remove anything from our life that is stopping our mind from being renewed day by day. And for me, that means most of the things that would keep me from being able to sit and read, right? I mean, that's just for me. Or to walk and read, because sometimes I walk and read, whatever, outside. But whatever is going to, you know, whatever is going to take you away from that, right? So we have to eliminate temptations. I think that's pretty obvious. Another thing, letter number four, the second one, we have to replace the old with the new. Ephesians 4, Paul tells us we're to put off the old man and put on the new man. It's not good enough that we just eliminate those worldly thoughts, eliminate those worldly desires. We have to replace them with godly ones. Because if we just sweep out and make our minds just, we sweep all the old stuff out, but we don't put new stuff in, guess what's going to happen? The old stuff going to come back in twofold, even more than before, right? Like Jesus said in that parable. So we have to replace the old, eliminate those worldly thoughts and desires, and replace them with godly thoughts and godly desires. How do we do that? We do that by illuminating and flooding our mind, if you will, with God's Word, whether it's through the written Word, whether it's through spoken Word or whatever. We need to try to think about, have you ever done this? Have you ever caught yourself thinking negatively? And then you thought to yourself, why am I thinking so negatively? Have you ever done that? I mean, some of y'all may not even think that deep. But you need to think about, I know this sounds very much like Dr. Phil. I apologize, right? I got this from my buddy in Houston. You know, Brother Joel gave me this one. So it may sound like Dr. Phil. But we need to think more about our thinking. I know the psychologists, and I know they tell us all this. But it doesn't mean that they're wrong every single, you know, a broken clock is, you know, right twice a day. We need to think about our thinking. You ever think about your thinking? You ever think about stuff and you stop and you say, what am I thinking about? Or why am I thinking about that? I wasn't even wanting to think about that, and all of a sudden I am. Well, it's probably something came into your mind through something you saw, you read, you heard. Satan can enter your mind through all those ways I listed, through entertainment or through friends or for your job or through your job, your career, or whatever. We have to think about our thinking. Think about our negative thoughts and contrast them with opposite thoughts, if you will. So if I'm worried about money, I'm worried about the future, am I going to be able to afford to retire or not or whatever, and think about those things, those are worries and negative thoughts. I need to replace them. Well, what would you replace thoughts like that with, Brother Chris? Well, you replace those kind of thoughts with promises from God that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that every hair of your head is numbered. Those promises from God that He's going to supply our needs and He's going to meet our needs, and that this world is, as the song says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. So why should I worry about things like, so whether it's worrying about, like I just used retirement, whether it's worrying about something like that, but whatever your negative thoughts are, you need to think about that, like what godly thoughts can I replace those thoughts with? Sometimes if someone cuts you, there's another one. Someone cuts you off in traffic. Where does your mind go? Negative thoughts. Wow, I hope that guy gets into an accident. Ha ha. Because he is mean and he treated me bad and whatever. And so I hope the cop gives him a ticket for speeding because he deserves it. And sometimes I think to myself, what am I thinking? Why am I thinking bad on somebody? Hey, he cut me off and I had Jaden and I had the baby in the car the other day and we just pulled into a turn lane and some guy pulled into the lane right. We were right where he wanted to turn the other way. And so I waited for him to go first. And as he's turning, he gives us the middle as big and bold and proud and just hard as he could, gave us both, all three of us, including the baby, the middle finger. I'm like, what in the world is going on with that? But that's, my immediate thought was, man, I hope that God punishes him somehow, some way. I started thinking negative thoughts. I'm like, what am I doing? The Bible says that vengeance belongs to the Lord. I mean, that guy's probably lost. He's going to spend eternity in hell. Why should I be mad at him for anything he does, right? So sometimes we have negative thoughts. We need to think about our thinking. Stop this week and you're thinking about something. Stop and say, why am I thinking about this? Is this a godly thought? Am I worried about something and that it's a sin to worry? At a certain point, it's a sin for me to worry because I'm not trusting in the Lord or not trusting in His Word. Think about your thoughts and think about what you're thinking and try to replace the old with the new. All right, is that enough, Dr. Phil, for one Sunday school lesson? All right, good. I've got more if you want. I mean, I don't know. Dr. Phil said I could borrow some stuff from him. So anyway, but anywho, all right, let's go on. So how much time do we have, Brother Keith? 2 minutes. All right. Are you ready? I got some practical considerations. Y'all, the first one up there, be careful what you see. Y'all know the song, right? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And then what is it? Be careful, little hands, what you hold. And then what else? Be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? That's the idea. We have to be careful what we see, right? I read this, and you might be alarmed at this. I don't know. The average American consumes over 10 and a half hours of media a day. Now, not just TV, that's media. So you're on your phone. If you're on any kind of an app, that's media, more than likely, right? Whether it's YouTube or whatever. 5 hours, now of that 10 and a half hours, 5 hours of that are television. 2 hours are radio, only if you're an old person. No one listens to the radio anymore. And then 3 hours of internet. If you're young, I would say that's probably more like 5 hours of internet. Young people don't listen to the radio. Don't y'all know that? Is anyone still listening to the radio here? Yeah, we got that. I was sitting in Chick-fil-A here in Jacksonville, Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And you know, if you're sitting in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, you see the Jacksonville Christian radio station right across the way there. And so I'm like, I forgot about this station. So I plugged it in. And so anyway, sorry about that, brother. But anyway, I feel like we need to stop because I don't feel like I can get through this. I feel like we got like a minute left and I'm going to do something that's going to blow everybody's minds. We're going to try to dismiss before the bad bell rings, okay? So we'll look at some practical considerations next time, and then I want to look at something different of which I don't have it on the thing yet. But anyway, we'll talk about, Yeah. We got some good. So we'll talk about some other things next week. We'll talk about the putting on the scriptures and Christian literature and other kind of disciplines. And then anyway, we'll talk about the discipline of scripture too next week, which is kind of what we've been talking about. Anyway, I said we would dismiss for the bell. I lied. Let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer.